everyone, welcome to another episode of Wallet Wisdom, a podcast presented by Lake Michigan Credit Union. If you are new to the podcast or have been listening for a while now, Wallet Wisdom is designed around breaking down the ins and outs of financial aspects, as well as to help bring answers to some of banking's more confusing or complex questions. I'm one of your hosts, Brett. Aldina's out today helping in our community. We are so grateful for her and their entire team getting out, volunteering, supporting in our communities as they do and serve. So, but hey, I'm here, and not only am I here, I'm here with one of my favorite people I get to work with, not enough, but Josh Wolf, our manager of the fraud department here at LMCU. Welcome, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today, sir?
Excellent. Excellent. I'll tell you, it's been hot here, but you know, we try not to complain too much in Michigan about heat when we know the snow will be coming.
It is so fleeting.
It is. It goes so fast. Next thing you know, you blink and you're back into, you know, snow pants and winter jackets. So.
And scraping off your car in the morning.
I know, right? That's the worst part of it. It's like, in all of our time, I mean, we can't find a better solution to be able to get ice off of our windshields.
One would say it's a scam.
It is. I would say it is a scam. And, you know, how fitting to talk about scams today. You know, Josh, I think for our listeners, you know, as they've become accustomed to what Wallet Wisdom has become, is a great resource for those to learn about banking aspects, but also aware of some of the shortcomings out there that are trying to scam us and trying to get our money, you know, and then we're out that. And so, you know, at LMCU, as we know, we are passionate about helping our members make sound financial decisions and that they are getting the most that they can from their institution. So, you know, Josh, I'm excited just to kind of dive right in. So, you know, with knowing that the holiday season is coming around the block here and there's just the time starts to ramp up. You know, not only that, we know it's an election year. We're going to be coming into the election. There's so many text messages, so many requests for money and so many different things. How do you keep it all straight, Josh?
You don't. You do your best.
See, you know, that's honest.
I mean, I think that there's a couple of different approaches that you can have. The first one that I would really stress is to verify. Yeah. Let's say that you are out shopping and you get a notice that something terrible has happened and somebody spent money on your card at Walmart or something like that. I would not trust that notification. If that notification is an email, if it's a text message, I would view that as a notice to check your account directly. Do not respond in any way to that text message itself. If you get a call from your bank asking you to verify information, you have no obligation to respond.
Sure.
Feel free to not respond and then check your account and contact your bank directly if you see something that's concerning. You are not obligated to respond in the same method even that your bank is allegedly reaching out to you.
Sure.
Across the industry right now, we're seeing a big uptick in people that are impersonating financial institutions. Yeah. That is not specific to LMCU at all. It is very much across the national scene. Yeah. And that could include banks as large as Fifth Third. I've recently gotten text messages saying that my bank account at Bank of America had a charge on it. I have never had a Bank of America account.
Yeah, right? Those are the ones that are the easy ones, right? Where you're joke's on you. I don't have an account there.
Exactly.
So it's kind of funny.
And we see a bunch of them, too, where it's not coming through as a direct message to me. It's coming through as a direct message from, say, the postal office. And then, you know, the USPS is reaching out to me. And, wow, surprise, 22 other people are also on this chat.
Yeah.
And we all have a missing package and we need to click this link to compromise some of our information.
That's one I've been seeing a lot lately for me too, Josh. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a lot of those texts about, hey, it's your last chance to win on the auction or the bid that you've got. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I haven't used eBay in forever. So I haven't done an auction in a long, long time. But on top of that, you're right. I'm getting, you know, the post office saying, hey, you got a package here. And what's sad about these scams, right, is there is no prejudice around who they choose. I mean, it's anyone and everyone that they can impersonate to create that doubt in a person's mind.
And what they do is they tend to target larger merchants specifically. So they're not going to say, you know, like Michigan Credit Union is based in Michigan and Florida. They're not going to say that the Applebee's down the road from you or right. anything like that. They're going to focus on larger merchants. You'll get a text message saying that a charge at Walmart mm-hmm. was conducted on your account for $500. Click this link to verify if that was you or not.
Sure.
You, or just respond yes or no. And the reason they choose Walmart is because every American has a Walmart probably within, you yeah. know, walking distance right. or, right. or at the very least driving distance. And so it's a safe bet that that person has shopped at Walmart or is aware that this could theoretically happen yeah. at a local Walmart.
You know, we, I think it was probably almost a year ago, did a podcast episode as well for listeners. If you haven't also, you know, check that out too. We actually sat down, I believe, with someone from the Better Business Bureau and some of the types of things that can come up and the frauds that they saw, especially around the holidays. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we were talking about, you know, it's an election year, and I'm sure for many listeners, you've received both unsolicited phone calls from random numbers. You have received text messages from different campaigns. And, you know, all of that said, I mean, we want to make sure that we're protecting your investments that you have put in and your savings that you've put in. And so hopefully this information is going to help, you know, bring some of that awareness again to many people to think about. You know, Josh, I think you hit the nail on the head. And for listeners, really, take that suggestion, take that advice of if you're not sure, call the number you are sure of.
And I would argue, even if you are sure that it's sure. coming from LMCU, you don't have to respond in that same way. You yes. can always just check your online banking. We see a lot of instances where somebody will get a notification that, oh, a charge for $3,000 at Best Buy has occurred on their account, and they sure. panic, and they click the link or they reach out to that number. And if they had checked their online banking, they would know that, A, that charge doesn't exist, and two, they may not have $3,000. But right. nonetheless, the text message is meant not necessarily to target you. It's meant, you know, they send that same text message out to thousands of people at a time, yeah. But it's meant to inspire fear. It's meant to yeah. inspire panic. And so when you start panicking and start feeling that fear, you stop thinking.
Yeah.
And when a person stops thinking, that makes them more susceptible to direction.
It's and so such then a weird blend of knowing technology and how to do that, right? And the psychology. I mean, there's such a psychological component at play here.
Absolutely.
That is, we are being preyed on. Our emotions absolutely. Are absolutely being used and preyed on these types of things.
And financial literacy isn't something that a lot of people are comfortable talking about.
Sure.
And so when
sure.
somebody says, like, oh, this bad charge happened on your account, you may not even know that you have protections in place to make yeah. sure that you are not held liable for that.
Yeah.
Let's say that you get a text message that says that something bad happened on your account. You check your account and something bad did happen
yeah.
on your account. Somebody, you know, a random merchant took funds out of your account.
Sure.
You have a right to file a dispute with your financial institution, and we have an obligation to look into that, and
yeah.
we will.
Yeah.
That's something that we take very seriously here at LMCU.
So, you know, Josh, on that topic, you know, I'd love to have listeners hear a little bit more about how LMCU continues to want to and is dedicated to keeping our members' finances safe and mm-hmm. helping, you know, either to help answer questions. Maybe it's investigating. Unfortunately, it's gotten to the point where it is, you know, where someone did get scammed. I would love to hear a little bit about that aspect and what your team gets to do on a more regular basis.
Oh, goodness. a good chunk of what we do is damage control.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we are a resource. We are here to help. If you call LMCU and ask for the fraud team, you'll get connected to my team, and we'll do what we can to help you. The range of issues that we deal with can be quite broad. It can be anything from identity theft to cards being compromised to checks clearing the account that are compromised. It could be online banking compromised. We see a good instance, a good number of like things like tax return fraud.
Okay, and yeah.
Things like that may not necessarily be fraud occurring at LMCU, but instead they're committing fraud at the IRS.
Sure.
And then the funds are moved to LMCU.
Wow.
We saw a bunch of things like PPP fraud during COVID, things like that. It really is cyclical in a sense. I would argue that especially during the combination of the election season and also the holiday season, I guarantee we're going to see a spike in debit card fraud. Simply because not every time you get a text message from a political campaign is it actually from a political campaign.
Right,
and so a lot of people want to support a particular cause, they hit donate, and then it goes nowhere. It goes into the pocket of a fraudster rather than going to a campaign that you actually want to support.
You know, you brought up an interesting point about debit card fraud. Would there be any benefit at all if they, let's say, hey, for the holidays, you're going to put your all of the purchases on your credit card and pay them off after that, or pay them off as you go, so that it keeps a debit card out of the equation? Does that bring any benefit?
No.
That's great.
The short answer is no. The cards that are attached to your bank account are not, they can be severed easily and replaced easily.
Okay.
So when your debit card information is compromised, you do not need a whole new bank account. It can be aggravating to go through and update all of your automatic payments that are done via that card. I've had to do that myself. I think that the biggest thing is to check your account regularly, check your statements regularly. Liability for what you are responsible for does not change if you notify us in a timely manner. So check your account, balance your account, check your statements regularly, let us know if you see anything weird at all. Even if you don't, if you just don't know what it is, just call us and we'll hash it out with you. The other big top tip that I would have here is that if you see something online that's a really good deal, and it's on a random website that you've never heard of, that is not a good deal. It is a scam.
It is always too good to be true.
It is.
And I'm okay, Josh, you hit a chord with me. Because I am that guy. I am that, but maybe this one time it's going to be fine. No.
That's not how it works.
It's not worth it.
Unfortunately.
I'll tell you a quick, you know, and this isn't even just electronic fraud, but this is just fraud in general that can happen. So, I mean, for listeners to understand that it can come in so many ways. Now, obviously the digital becomes so much faster. I mean, we're so in a rhythm, right? And, oh, I got to respond to this and respond to that. Click this link, click that link. So yes, it's easier, but it happens. And I'm going to put myself out there for everyone to be like, you're gullible, Brett, because I wanted a new iPhone. This was like 8 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. And so there was a guy selling one. Cool. And it was discounted heavily.
Yeah.
And I'm aware that there were a lot of potentials out there. So because of that, I thought I was being smart. I was thinking I was doing it right. And I said to the buyer, hey, if this isn't a scam, meet me at the store. Meet me at the cell phone store where I'll give you the cash there. But I want the store to check to make sure that it's clean and that I can put it onto my account.
Yeah.
So we went in, talked to the salesperson. They looked it up. They're like, as far as what our systems show, it appears that that code could be a valid code.
Yeah.
But we won't know until we open it up. Well, the guy was like, I don't want you to open a brand new iPhone up because I lose value on that as soon as you open it. And I'm like, yeah, you make a good point. And we're already there long enough. And I was like, all right, I think I feel confident enough. And then sure enough, I open it up. He leaves and it's bricked.
Yeah.
It's stolen.
Yep.
And I'm out $600.
Yeah.
I mean, those things can happen, but I'm gullible because I'm like, that's a great deal.
That's the thing. So another thing that we saw recently was the peer-to-peer scams. So this would be anything that you do involving strangers or merchants or anything like that involving peer-to-peer, things like Cash App, Venmo, Facebook Pay, all of those things. Zelle is another big one. We saw Taylor Swift come to town recently for a concert, and people obviously desperately wanted to go. Taylor Swift puts on a great show, and so thousands of people wanted to look for tickets, couldn't find tickets. They found somebody who's perfectly willing to sell them their tickets online for a good price, or sometimes even not a good price.
Sometimes not, right?
But I mean, so our estimated number of disputes that we received. So this would be a situation where somebody bought tickets, showed up at the concert, and were told that their tickets were not good. We saw between $60,000 and $70,000 lost by our members trying to purchase Taylor Swift tickets, specifically Taylor Swift tickets, and that money is gone. Because when you buy something using Zelle and other peer-to-peer apps like Cash App and things like that, there are no consumer protections. You do not have the protections that you would normally have when you go and buy a shirt from Target or something like that. So when you're going into a holiday season like we are going into soon, the biggest recommendation I have would be to only shop at merchants that you know. If you go on Amazon, you're going to get that product. If you don't, then you have protections. If you find something on Facebook Marketplace that you really love and the guy wants you to pay via Zelle, that's probably a bad sign. So be very, very cautious there. And again, if you find something online that's just a really amazing deal that you've never seen the price that low before, that's probably for a reason.
Exactly. And, you know, you'd said something a little earlier on the episode, Josh, that really resonates still with me, which is, and we've talked about this on the other episodes as well, so listeners may have heard this before, but my hope is that this show is helping to break down some of those individual silos. Like you said, people don't want to talk about their finances, whether they're embarrassed about it, whether they don't want to come across braggadocious, or anywhere in between those, you know, those flagpoles. That means, that makes it so that we're not talking to one another about these things enough. We're not willing to, you know, I guess maybe it's pride, maybe it's something else, whatever, that shame, right? Exactly. You know, embarrassment, like, I can't believe I did this, but that is human. And you said it at the start. How do you protect yourself with all this stuff? And you say, well, you can't, but you can be as well more informed as you can, so that you're really not putting yourself in a risky situation, but it can happen. It can happen to anybody. So don't feel embarrassed about it. Don't ever feel like you did something wrong or anything. They're good at this now. You know, they're really
I would argue that the fraudsters out there are very adept at dancing between what is common and what is not. Everybody that thinks of fraud inherently thinks of the Nigerian prince scam. We were all aware of getting that email back in 2000 or 98 about that Nigerian prince.
Back in the 1900s?
Exactly, yeah.
But, I'm just kidding.
that they're saying, oh, you know, I am a Nigerian prince. Mm-hmm. I have a very wealthy estate, and you are my heir. Something like that. And the joke is that, like, oh, obviously that doesn't exist, but it still does. It absolutely does. That is just a template. The template is somebody very distant that you do not know has a lot of money and wants to give it to you. That can be a person who says that they love you and is trapped on an oil rig. It can be somebody who is a young friend of yours who is a military combat vet who's trapped in Iraq or something like that. The template is still there, and that person, whoever that is, that third party, needs your help in some way. And that might mean moving money for them. It might mean that they're going to ask you to buy them gift cards. It can mean a whole bunch of different things, but that the template overall is adjusted to make sense for what the current scene is. So instead of a Nigerian prince, now we have a wounded Ukrainian vet.
Right.
Or we have somebody who's trapped in Gaza who needs help.
Yes.
They take whatever political or geopolitical event that is going on and they adapt the template to match that need. That way it's a pressing emotion that will, it will cause a pressing emotion where you had to act.
Well, and I'll say, it's easy to stop these people by just calling if you're not sure. That's absolutely the easiest point, right? Even if you think it is, you don't have to respond through that text. You can call them and get someone on the phone and you can figure that out. Now, I will say this, don't use necessarily the phone number on the text, because that can also be an intentional, like, you're going to call the wrong place. If it's like, let's just say, LMCU, there's a text and there's call this number if you want to ask more questions. Even if that was LMCU, go to our website, find our number on our website. That is a public record that is going to be accurate. And then you can call us,
Also, don't trust your caller ID. If it shows up as LMC, that doesn't necessarily mean that LMC was calling you.
No. In fact, that's become the biggest thing. More annoyance than anything, Josh, has been, I get phone calls from local numbers.
Yep.
And I've got friends that I don't necessarily have in my phone book all the time, or some acquaintances I've met. And then I feel bad that I'm sending I'm usually the guy that loves to pick up the phone, I'm that 90s kid, but now I just send everyone to voicemail because I don't know the number, but it says it's from my area code. And then when I have picked up, they're like, hi, totally
would you
different.
Like to donate to this cause. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
And that's just good. I think that's a good practice to have right now. If you have somebody that you are calling on a regular basis, that's great. Keep doing that. If you get a call from a random number or from your merchant, whether it's Xfinity, whether it's consumers, whether it's DTE, whether it's your bank, your credit union, whatever that is, I would argue that the best practice is to just say, I can't, either send in the voicemail, sure, or if you do pick up and they start asking for questions, you have every right to say, I don't feel comfortable with this, I'm going to call you back.
That's right.
And you hang up on them, and then you Google that business, you go to that business's website, and you call them at that number. You don't trust Google to just spit out always the best answer either.
Right. That's right.
For sure. Go to their specific website and look them up that way.
For sure. For sure. Well, Josh, as we're wrapping up today, I want to kind of end with one last kind of question and for listeners to kind of hear a little bit too. I would love for you to just briefly share a little bit more about how LMCU is already helping put certain practices in place to keep our members' money safe from potential fraud or those types of things.
So one thing that we've seen recently is an attempt to target good members of ours who have, in some cases, had substantial amounts of money in their accounts here at LMCU.
Sure.
They might get a call from somebody offers them an amazing deal to invest in cryptocurrency, things like that. And they are instructed to go to the branch, and they're told to go to their local credit union or financial institution branch, and they're told to withdraw funds. And then they might be told to send those funds to go to a local ATM. It's actually a cryptocurrency ATM. And they will put funds directly into a Bitcoin wallet. At that point in time, those funds are gone. I have a 0% collection effort recovery rate there. We also see instances where they're told to put the funds into, say, magazines and then physically mail off the magazine of cash to a vacant address in a different state, things like that. And the reason that they're told to do this, the reason that these members are coached in how to do this, is because of the bank asking questions. The bank security that we have does protect your money.
Yeah.
It does protect your information. It does protect your account information. However, we can't protect members from themselves.
Right.
And so the target is no longer financial institutions. It is much more targeted to the members. That could be as simple as a pop-up on your computer saying that Microsoft has detected an alert or detected a virus. The whole goal of that fraud interaction is to get you, the member, to do something with your money.
Yeah.
And that could be go into the branch and do a wire. It could be take out a large portion of cash. And so LMCU is currently putting in place some rules and some guidelines for when to ask questions. And, we might ask you, have you been contacted by law enforcement? Are you going to invest in Bitcoin? Have you done this before? Do you control the physical the Bitcoin wallet that these funds are going to, or to someone else?
Yeah.
Things like that, and trying to target our questions to not be too invasive, but to get some answers back so that we can know that it's not a scam that you are being involved in. And that does get kind of difficult sometimes. And certainly some people do get frustrated with us asking questions, which I understand. Again, the financial literacy is such that it can be uncomfortable for lots of people to talk about their finances. But I guarantee our goal here is not to be frustrating. It is solely to protect you, to protect your funds, and make sure that you are, we're looking out for your financial well-being.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I know we also have some other parameters in place, if I'm not mistaken, for even like traveling out of state and all of those types of things. You know, we're monitoring accounts to make sure that something like that is, if there is a red flag, that we are, you know, being able to address some of those right away before they turn into something much bigger and a much bigger perpetuated, you know, loss of money. So, yeah, you know, Josh, again, you and your team are absolutely incredible. You've done so much already for LMCU, and hopefully for listeners, you don't ever have to call Josh's team unless you just want to call and say hi. But I tell you, knowing that there is a dedicated team that understands these things, you're keeping up to date on what's happening, because I mean, that's the one thing hopefully we all learned, is it's a very fast evolving space, and having experts and people like you, Josh, making sure that we're safe with our finances brings me peace of mind. Really,
I'm happy to help.
Truly, if there are any questions you ever come up with, you know, as listeners, and you may get a text message, reach out to us. We'd be happy to help. You know, honestly, and if you're not a member of LMCU, we understand that, and we recognize that this isn't why we do the podcast. It's not just for our members. So if you're also falling victim to that, reach out to your financial institution, talk to them, find out, you know, some more information, and they'll be able to, and should be able to continue to help you just like we would do as well. So, Josh, thank you so much again for being on the show and sharing a little bit with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, again, if you haven't listened for a while, we'd love for you to subscribe, like us on Facebook, Instagram, or on LinkedIn. We're on Spotify, Apple Music. Maybe some of you are listening on Apple Music or Spotify, but we love to hear from our listeners. So feel free, email us at walletwisdom@lmcu.org. We'd love to hear more about what you're loving about our show, what episodes are your favorite, and what other kind of content that you'd love to hear more of. So we can't wait to hear from you. Be sure to follow us, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening. The information provided in this podcast by Lake Michigan Credit Union is general education or marketing in nature and is not intended to be accounting, legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Statements of individuals are their own, not LMCU's. All topics discussed are information of a general nature and do not address the circumstances of any particular individual or entity. Consult an appropriate professional concerning your specific situation. As of the date of publishing and any future date this podcast is broadcast, all rates, fees, payments, or other specific figures discussed are subject to change and are dependent upon your specific financial situation. All loan products discussed are subject to credit and collateral approval. You alone assume the sole responsibility of evaluating the merits and risks associated with the use of any information or other content in the podcast before making any decisions based on such information or other content. In exchange for listening to the podcast, you agree not to hold LMCU, its affiliates, or any third-party service providers liable for any possible claim for damages arising from any decision you make based on information or other content made available to you through the podcast. For more information on any of the content discussed in this podcast, please visit LMCU.org. Copyright Lake Michigan Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. LMCU, NMLS ID number 442967.